This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Brenda, your host for this week's episode. I'm currently a BSW student completing my placement at Distress and Crisis Ontario and a proud African Canadian. In this episode of the Mental Health and Systemic Racism series, I'll be interviewing Nicole Brown Faulkner, a registered psychotherapist, child and youth counselor, and yoga instructor. I hope that through these podcasts that they will be a source of education to know about what's going on in our society and what community supports and resources are available. Enjoy! Nicole, thank you for joining us today. So we're just going to go through these interview questions. Can you please tell us about yourself and the work that you do?
Sure. So I am a psychotherapist. I am also a child and youth worker and a trauma consultant. So some, the work that I do now kind of umbrellas and hovers around trauma work in the community. So with that said, I'm an activist for the silence and unspoken. So I specialize in trauma work and embodiment practices and education. So teaching people how to feel or explore what they're feeling so we can begin to articulate it and connect to the unconscious. There's a couple other things I do. It's related to yoga. Well, I'm a yoga instructor, but I also brought some work from Boston here called Trauma Center. Trauma-sensitive yoga, and I'm a facilitator for that, and it's a way that we use our body to do trauma brain work. Okay, so that's what I do.
Cool. I really like how you work with emotions and how to deal with them, because a lot of time when we don't know how to deal with our emotions, it becomes very traumatizing for us because we haven't validated them to be able to become healed in areas that we've been hurt before. So what are the psychological impacts of systemic racism on mental health?
Yeah, that question is, I really love it. I want to say that I'm going to probably speak about it in an embodied way.
Sure. You know,
to show what the psychological impact on what the psychological impact is of systemic racism on mental health. So first I talk about psychological, because I talk about a psyche. Mm-hmm. And some people might not know what the psyche is, and the psyche is your body, your mind, and your soul. Some people say spirit. And that makes up the psyche. And I think that what I want to say about that is that psychological impacts of systemic racism on mental health can shatter the psyche. It can shatter it. It can keep it separated from the body, from the mind, from the spirit. And it's fragmented, and it's due to the invisibility of it and the feeling of lack of empathy. So I'll say that to start, just to warn you. So this is how I think it impacts it in a feeling way. I think it might create invisible feeling of psychological aggression from society. So it's invisible, but you feel this type of aggression in your mind, okay? The other thing I feel how it impacts is, so I'm going to use words that create feelings, okay? So just bear with me.
Sure.
Okay. Invisible murder with no accountability. Like, it's like you're someone's murdering you, but you can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? From speaking to the psyche. And nobody's accountable. You just get to run away free and do that. Another psychological impact I think it has is feelings of I don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk around feeling like I don't exist. And the continuous turning away or being misunderstood or mischaracterized may create this feeling of I don't exist, which is torment, I think so. But
mm-hmm.
Two other things I think that come to mind is it has the same impact as emotional abuse or silent treatment in abusive relationships.
Yeah.
And it may be felt, lastly, it may be felt as manipulation and a learned understanding of a feeling of control over another, like the system versus race,
mm-hmm.
whatever race. Do you see?
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't overflood you there. But that's my feelings about it anyways, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for enlightening us on that. Could you share one story or example of how systemic racism has affected your mental health or someone that you know?
I think working with BIPOC community, I'll probably share it generally, but I think mm-hmm. something that stands out is being treated in hidden ways where your gut is telling you one thing.
Yeah.
And you feel mistreated by the company and the colleague, but they demonstrate the opposite. So mm-hmm. it leaves the person always double guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing, you know, in psychotherapy, like that we call like double thinking. And this happens in trauma cases where you're double guessing and you're double thinking, like, is it me? Is it not? And it's a way of gaslighting yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Like, maybe I'm being too sensitive. This is due to the lack of support and validation. And also, most importantly, a lack of empathy. People mm-hmm. aren't empathizing. So these types of examples shows up a lot. Let's not say a lot, but it's common. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And so in this case that I'm thinking of, it's a handful, but I'm talking about it generally,
mm-hmm.
is that they don't receive projects or they feel the supervision. That supervision is needed at their work, so they might be over-supervised.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being promoted due to personal feelings or retaliation. Oh, you came to me, talk to me about this. I'm going to retaliate this way. So, again, all these things are, like, unspoken.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way that sometimes through therapy that we kind of work through it is we might have to work through the grief and loss of having to leave the employer
mm-hmm.
or leave a toxic work environment and to restart. And restarting can be triggering, right? Because you have to leave yourself and what you know. And, you know, we talk about things like feelings of shame and impacts of it, like perfectionism. You know, I can talk a lot about this stuff, but
mm-hmm.
I try not to. But there's a lot of impact around these invisible things and having to work towards leaving a place that's toxic, that you don't have the validation or empathy and you can't speak to it, but you know that there's personal feelings or retaliation happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, I kind of want to say that people's mental health is affected in these types of decisions or these types of dynamics, because you see things like PTSD.
Yeah.
People can suffer post-traumatic stress disorder from that.
Wow.
Because it's a form of helplessness and you can't escape.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, and when there's a control or a power over, it creates this PTSD symptoms, because
mm-hmm.
you're going in day after day with this type of hypervigilance or this activated nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's impactful. And suicidal thoughts are effects on mental health. Depression, anxiety is very common
mm-hmm.
as well. So it's like chronic pain and binge eating and so forth. So.
Oh, wow, that's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know where to stop because, you know.
Yeah, it's so deep.
Because it is,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's also unspoken. And one of the things that I do is to speak about what's unspoken.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of bring it to light so people kind of, their bodies might get uncomfortable, but that's because the unconscious things are becoming conscious. You're thinking. They're
mm-hmm.
food for thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really important to bring up, because a lot of people, like, living in a white-dominated society, you may feel like it's only you going through these things and you might be overreacting, but I'm glad that you offer services for people to know that what they're feeling is validated and they have a space to heal from the things that they've encountered through the system. So with your expertise in psychotherapy, how do you assist people who have experienced systemic racism?
To be honest, I treat them as I do trauma symptoms. Mm-hmm. I treat, like PTSD, mm-hmm. anxiety. I treat them exactly the same. Mm-hmm. We work with, and this sometimes takes quite a bit of time,
yeah.
But we work with the first phase, which we call like safety and stabilization. Mm-hmm. So this helps overcome dysregulated emotions. So this can take years before people can move past due to the complexity,
mm-hmm.
Of it. Like, because with symptoms of systemic racism, we're talking about ancestral trauma, so mm-hmm. like intergenerational trauma. We're talking about developmental trauma. So this means developing as children with trauma around you,
mm-hmm.
And historical trauma. And when I talk about historical trauma, I'm talking about post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a complexity around it all, and so I work with overcoming dysregulated emotions for quite some time, and then we begin to work with coming to terms with traumatic memories
mm-hmm.
after that. So these are just how I treat trauma symptoms. So we have to work towards overcoming the fear of the traumatic memories so that we can integrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's a different phase, and the last phase of working with trauma.
Yeah.
It's integration and moving on. Yeah. And that part is work in itself because it's at the pace of the client.
Okay.
And so they might take more time in the first phase, safety and stabilization. It might be 3 years, 5 years later before we can even begin to integrate and move on.
Mm-hmm.
If they're working on going with a psychotherapist or a therapy. So that just means that the client can now work on decreasing shame and alienation. These are embodied feelings,
mm-hmm.
so that they can develop a greater capacity for healthy attachment, because right now it's not safe or it's distrusting to attach. So this helps make meaning-making, you mm-hmm. know, after trauma. So they can begin to work with personal goals and professional goals again. So that's how I assist people working with systemic racism, yeah.
Okay. And so what self-care advice do you have during these times of COVID and high racial tensions?
So I kind of have ones that I walk with around these tools, and
mm-hmm.
And they might be unique because I might have made them up, like just knowing, you know, and feeling what I know out there about feeling helpless in these types of times,
yeah.
or of chaos, uncertainty, confusion. I'd say go to places where your soul, so we're talking about your psyche,
mm-hmm.
and your heart,
yeah.
is celebrated.
Yeah.
You have to find places where this happens for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, I think. It might be just one place, but it's important
mm-hmm.
to feel trust and to feel safe. The other tool I would talk about is just keeping yourself surrounded by people, but also places. You can go to places, like there's a place in a park that you like, and things that are accepting of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe it's nature. I don't know. But, like, what I know is you'll know what that means for you.
Yeah.
So just keep, yeah, right? Surrounding yourself with those things that are accepting of you. And therapy, I think it's important to heal.
Yes.
You know, and I understand the inaccessibility sometimes of these types of services.
Mm-hmm.
But therapy groups, I think it's very important in regards to healing and understanding yourself in the middle of times like COVID and high racial tension,
mm-hmm.
as well as educating yourself.
Yeah.
Because the lack of education can keep us displaced. We continue not to know where we belong. So educating and discovering and exploring your history to gain a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And the last tool I'll say is sleep.
Yes.
Please sleep. Mm-hmm. Like rest your mind, rest your body, rest your heart, rest.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'll definitely be using those tools, especially as I'm in school and with everything else going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good.
Is there anything else that you would like to add that we did not touch on?
Yeah, you know, I'll probably get, because I feel like I'm an educator type of healer, I feel like I'd like to comment on, like, the mental health system.
Okay, sure.
What it might be influenced on, maybe just to give some insight, you know, and yeah. maybe even debunk what racism is.
Yeah.
And move what systemic racism is. Okay, so I'll comment on the mental health. I think that the mental health system might, okay, so these are just my personal comments.
Yeah.
It might be influenced by unconscious racial beliefs and biases.
True.
Right? I think it might be influenced by that. And then we may be perceiving it out there as anti-racist or anti-oppression, and it may not be because of these unconscious racial beliefs and biases.
Yeah.
Okay? The other thing I want to connect and build a little bit of education about is that we may have to address the split within the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so when I talk about split as a psychotherapist, I'm saying there's a split of the ability to empathize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it creates this barrier. And so I think we need to address the split within the system and the heart of oppressed people.
Yeah.
Because of this split, we can't connect to the oppressed people, okay, like the communities, the marginalized communities for some reason. And so I am curious about that, and I would bring that up just to build consciousness about that. And maybe teach people to feel empathy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe it takes leadership teams or, like, you know, at the top, you know, I call it, like, top down, bottom up, in the way, like, in our system, we don't really have a lot of control about that. But it is dominated from the top down, so maybe teaching the top to empathize or connect to what they might be disconnected to, which doesn't allow them to empathize, so that they can learn to empathize for others, and teach it from the bottom up as well.
Yes.
From people, right? Mm-hmm. And in from the sides, it's like all do this inclusively together.
Mm-hmm.
So it might look like this. This is what I think. It might look like questions like, or statements like, what, going into these types of system and saying, what do you feel about your vulnerability, your insecurity and inadequacies when working with racial biases, so that it doesn't define the both of us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, like, kind of just go right to the nugget. What do you feel about your vulnerability, your insecurity, your inadequacies when working with racial biases or hate, so that it doesn't define both of us? Because that's what's happening, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, because we can ask questions to begin to, like, actually debunk and build education about what racism really is in these little nuggets, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing I think, I know I'm adding, like, a couple things.
But, oh, it's good.
Okay. But I think that it's important to say, well, really, what is racism? Because I have a definition of what racism is, you know? I think racism is, it's a social construct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deeply embedded in the systems dominated by white men, women, and persons. That's what I think racism is. It's just a social construct deeply embedded in the system dominated by white men, women, and persons. That's what I think. That's my last comment.
Thanks for sharing. Would you say that includes microaggressions as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I like what you said about the empathy part and how, like, many of our white employers or coworkers, they don't really understand the black experience. So when you do try to tell them something, it's like they kind of brush it off. But I feel like it's really important that they realize that these are our experiences, and they don't really have the right to tell us, oh, it wasn't that bad. So I feel like the empathy part is really important, especially with, like, what you're saying about the trauma that our ancestors went through. We also feel it as well. But our fellow white employees, they don't have that trauma as well. So it's a very interesting dynamic. So I feel like, yeah, the empathy part's really important, because just because they haven't experienced something doesn't mean that we're not experiencing it. So I'm glad that you touched on that.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. So where can people find you, like social media, events, or your contact information?
Okay, so I'll start with events, just because tomorrow's a big event starting for the there's a BIPOC event this weekend.
Okay.
It's called the Sweat-a-thon for Racial Justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not too late to register online. It's offered online through Zoom.
Okay.
Through Queen Street Yoga.
Okay.
So, yeah, so this is this fund is going to help, that we accumulate here is going to help with offering a course that I offer here. It's one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the BIPOC course for yoga for trauma recovery.
Oh, cool.
So in the beginning, I mentioned that I brought some work here from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And we use trauma yoga. So we use their bodies into certain shapes. And we have shared experience and a lot of choice making. And it's a way actually to work with a brain that's been traumatized. Like, our bodies don't feel safe to be in our bodies and yet. And so I get to offer this 7-week course.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll start the end of October. Again, this is offered online, and I feel it might be the first of many, so I'm just bravely going out to begin to start this work.
Mm-hmm.
Since the changes this past year. So you can find me at Queen Street Yoga. My office is actually here.
Mm-hmm.
As well. The course is also offered here downtown Kitchener.
Thank you for sharing. So for the new program that you're running at the end of October, do people have to sign up for it from the beginning, or is it like you can join in at any time?
That's a good question. This course is offered for 7 weeks, so you might want to join at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay if you miss during your 7 weeks.
Okay.
But they do offer a sliding scale also.
Mm-hmm.
We did some collaboration so that we can make it more accessible. So you're welcome to go online and look at those types of collaborations we made so that people who might not be able to reach services like this can.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's one event. The other thing that's coming out in November is a book called Embodied Healing.
Okay.
And in Embodied Healing, I'm an author in one of the chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to talk about healing in this way in my Black body.
Oh, nice.
And the journey that was for me, and also as a body of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so that book, the book, you can pre-order on Amazon. If you go to my website,
mm-hmm.
There's a link that brings you right to the Amazon website where you can pre-order the book. It is being released in November.
Okay.
Next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. I love hearing about other people's trauma experiences and the resilience they built through it. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you could... Oh,
yeah, you could go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I just thought I wanted to mention how to find me, because I thought I was sharing all the...
Oh, yes. Things. True.
Okay. So you can find me. I have a big, a strong presence on social media through Instagram,
mm-hmm.
At Wounds to Wings. So it's at Wounds, mm-hmm. WOUNDS, the numeric number 2, Wings, WINGS. And you're most welcome to follow me there. I have Wednesday Community Voices, where I'm speaking on curiosities and inquiries from the community,
mm-hmm.
That they're not able to voice themselves. So I go on and do some talks about it to everyone, where it can meet everyone where they're at, is my attempt. You can also find me on Twitter and on my website as well at woundstowings.com.
Thank you so much. I'll be definitely checking you out on these various social media platforms.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, it was an honor to be invited and to connect with you, Brenda, so thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay, you too, Brenda.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forms podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forums series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to
tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress and crisis Ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.